This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
She's the outspoken host.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
This is the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. It is Sunday morning, and I hope everybody's enjoying their day so far. Now, I am trying to be chipper, but I am really upset with the weather. There's got to be someone you can sue. I'm serious. You know, it's May, it's cold, it's freezing, it's gray, and it's damp, and I just don't like it. But here's the thing. How could it be 90 degrees at the beginning of the week and 50 at the end of the week? It's a schizophrenic. It's like everything in America these days. You're at one end or the other. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying your day so far. And in spite of the weather, we are armed and ready to serve you with a little bit of justice this Sunday morning. A lot going on in America. And, you know, you got to love this country. It keeps you on your toes. There's a lot going on. Donald Trump continues in the trial in Lower Manhattan. He comes out every day focused, able to talk about the issues. He talked about college campuses on Tuesday morning when the president was silent. He talked about the chaos, the president, former President Donald Trump, how it had to stop. He was a leader on his way into a trial in Lower Manhattan. Joe Biden, on the other hand, was silent. But at some point, at the end of the week, he came out, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But so far, everybody, they haven't laid a hand or a glove on Donald Trump. Everybody from Pecker to the lawyer Davidson, everyone involved said, you know, this is normal stuff. It certainly isn't illegal. NDAs are just contracts and agreements where there's a settlement. So, you know, strap in, everybody. It's going pretty poorly when even CNN is saying, there's very little that actually connects Trump and puts him in a situation where there's direct involvement with any of the individuals. But, you know, for the Democrats, hope springs eternal. Now, on today's show, we're going to be talking with Hogan Gidley and Joe Concha about the trial and what's going on campuses in this country. And I want you to hear, 9 days after these college campuses erupted into anarchy, I want you to hear what Joe Biden has to say, and I'm going to come back on the other side.
There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans.
What is this man talking about? We are at an inflection point in history when anti-Semitism and Jewish hatred is at an all-time high, with Jewish students not being able to even enter buildings, go into classrooms, are being threatened when they do go on campuses and our most so-called elite educational institutions. And Joe Biden is talking about Islamophobia and hate against Arab Americans. What is wrong with that man? This man, he's certainly not in touch with what's going on. And today we're going to have some students, some Jewish students from the universities, one from UCLA, one from Columbia, but we're going to talk about what the Jewish students have been going through on campuses in this country. They're going to talk about the fact that their campuses have been turned into pro-Arab, Hamas-loving, Jew-hating universities. And once the police came in, and they have come in most of the universities, we're now left with literally chaos and landfills that are filled with tents and trash, and there's all kinds of buildings that now have to be scrubbed and paint taken off, and the damage is insurmountable or inestimable at this point. So you're going to be hearing from the experts and the students. And never forget, everyone, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. And up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, I will be speaking with Fox News contributor, media and political columnist, author Joe Concha, coming up right here on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is a Fox News contributor, media and political columnist, author, and my friend Joe Concha. He's always got a sense of humor. I love hearing from him. And Joe, welcome. How are you this Sunday morning?
Outstanding. Happy Sunday. How are you?
I'm good. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of this cold weather in New York. I've had it. Oh. There's got to be someone we could sue for this crap.
It's May. I mean, come on. I can accept it in March. But at this point, I'm looking at Memorial Day weekend in a couple weeks. Your birthday's coming up. Oh, I think it's what, 39 again?
Forget it.
Enough.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not even talking about birthdays this year. In fact, I'll skip this year if I can. Okay. Anyway, I got to tell you, you know, the week has been consumed in terms of the news with what's going on the college campuses. And if that isn't crazy enough with these fascist anarchists, Hamas-loving protesters, we've got this guy in the White House who is himself an example of the declination or the decimation of the United States, and that's Joe Biden. So Joe Biden comes out, and he actually says that, you know, we have to, during the worst anti-Semitism outbreak in decades in this country, he starts talking about the fact that Islamophobia has no place in America. This is the quote, there's no place for hate speech or violence of any kind. Whether it's anti-Semitism, and this is what he says after that, Islamophobia or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans, it's simply wrong. Where does he get off worrying about discrimination against Arab Americans when we are seeing literally a replay of Europe in the late 1930s as it relates to discrimination against Jews, with Jewish students not even able to go into class, being prevented from entering the universities?
To piggyback on your where comment, Judge, and thanks for having me. Where are we seeing any acts of Islamophobia on campuses? Because at last check, I'm not seeing any of that at Columbia, at UCLA, University of Texas, Austin, or any of the other dozens of colleges that's turned into chaos at this point. I mean, imagine if you're a parent, I got an 8-year-old, I got a 10-year-old, and they're going to be going to college in, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 years. They're not going to any Northeast school. That I can tell you already. We're going right south, because I'm not paying $90,000 a year. That's what, $150,000, $160,000 before taxes for yep. them to be exposed to this crap? No, thank you. So say hello to the University of Tennessee or Texas or Georgia, because that's where Cameron or Liam are likely going. And by the way, I get to visit them in warm weather instead of what we're dealing with here in the Northeast.
Well, you know, the amazing part of all of this is that, You know, I believe it took way too long for law enforcement. But, you know, as it relates to Columbia, law enforcement had to be invited because it was private property. But, you know, you've got UCLA. I mean, that is a public university. It takes Joe Biden 9 days to talk about this. Gavin Newsom, it took him 6 days. These Democrats are so co-opted by the anti-Semitism and the pro-Hamas part of their party that they've literally forgotten about law and order in this country. It's almost as though it doesn't matter. And you know what? I'll leave it up to the parents as to what they're going to do. That's their problem. But in terms of the display of anarchy, I find it stunning.
Two-state solution. That's what Joe Biden has at this point, Judge. And that's two-state solution is winning Michigan and Nevada. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, Joe Biden, 9 days. Can you believe that? Because he is so petrified to lose those precious voters in Dearborn, Michigan, or Las Vegas, Nevada, because he loses those states, he loses the election. Know this, Bernie Sanders, who I rarely agree with, but in this case, I will agree with him. He says this has the potential, this being everything we're seeing on these college campuses and across the country and chaos in general in American cities. This has the potential to be his Vietnam because remember 1968. Yep. Now, I wasn't alive in 1968, but I've read enough about this. The Democratic National Convention was in Chicago. This year, it's in Chicago. Who makes these decisions? You don't need Illinois, so I'm not quite sure why they would have it there unless they're trying to appease union workers. Who knows? Who cares? The point is, it's going to be absolute anarchy around that convention, and it's going to be worse than 1968 because social media can help take kerosene to an already raging wildfire. So if Joe Biden doesn't fix this, the irony here is that people will reelect Donald Trump because he will return the country to normalcy and law and order, whether that be in American cities, whether it be on campuses, whether it be at the border, while Joe Biden ran on returning the country to normalcy after the chaos that surrounded Donald Trump, the man, not the country so much. So that's where we're at. And if this continues, this president, I already think he's toast. He will absolutely be toast to the tune of like losing 40 states toast if he doesn't get these situations under control, and he has no ability, he's shown so far, to do that.
Well, he not only has no ability to do it, I mean, he's indicated that, you know, it is, you know, this is a problem of Islamophobia as well as anti-Semitism. I mean, the guy is totally clueless. But you know what I find most interesting, Joe Concha, is the fact that of the kids who were arrested at Columbia, and I think around the country, at least at Columbia, more than 40% were not students. Okay, so these are outside agitators, and I got to give Mayor Adams credit for this. He called it, whereas the Democrats and the progressives are not willing to call it as outside agitators. And they are individuals who are trespassing. They don't belong on campus, yet they are creating this anarchy and this trauma for students. And I've got some students coming on the show a little later, and I want to talk about, you know, what are their parents going to do about the $80,000-$90,000 they spend a year? Are they going to sue the university for not providing a safe setting for their kids to go to school?
I would already be suing for just going to remote learning alone. This is not what I'm paying for, right? But imagine this. I mean, when I went to college, like my hardest decision and stress came from the fact of where am I going to get the keg for the keg stand for the party later, right? And now it was Maryland. It was a nice time. But the point is that now, I mean, imagine you're afraid to leave your dorm. And then when you want to take a final exam, which at an Ivy League school, you got to study a lot for, you can't even get into that class because these freaks who don't even go to the school are blocking you. This is Antifa. This is George Soros. And this is Joe Biden's America. And this is something that nobody, Democrats, Republicans, like seeing at this point. But they feel like it's out of control because no one's stepping up and showing some true leadership, whether it's the governor of California or the president of the United States and the commander in chief of our armed forces.
Well, there's no question. No one is in control. The nation is in chaos. The anti-Semites are emboldened. And in the end, law enforcement, and by the way, we have to give kudos to them, Joe Concha. I mean, they went onto these campuses like pros. And now the students are saying they've been traumatized by the presence of law enforcement on campus. And they're talking about suing. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But final question to you. You know, I think, Joe, that right now Joe Biden is in a real pickle. But I also think that we've got another, what is it, 5 months, June, July, August, September, October, 6 months.
180 days. Yeah,
yeah, and the truth, you're not counting the days. But the truth is that, you know, I expect the Democrats to come up with all kinds of things the way they did against Donald Trump in terms of changing this election around. So I don't think it's over at all. As much as I would like to think that Donald Trump is going to take it away, who knows what they'll come up with. Final thought.
I wonder, because what we're seeing with these trials, that was supposed to be the 1-2-3-4 punch, right? And then we saw what happened with Fannie Willis down in Georgia, and that's fallen apart completely. And we see with Alvin Bragg, there's no case here whatsoever. I get it's a Manhattan jury, but no one's heard anything about a crime yet, and all it takes is one. If that trial fails, Fannie doesn't go to trial, Jack Smith's not going to trial because the Supreme Court's probably going to push that down to a lower court. That pushes it past the election.
Yeah, they,
I don't know how many cards they have left, right?
Right. Well, I got to tell you, and the bottom line is that this is what they do in third world countries. You indict and try to jail your opponent. Joe Concha, always good hearing from you on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. Have a great Sunday and try to find some sunlight somewhere, Joe.
Yeah, I'm going to put a fire on right now. Pathetic. Thanks, Jeanine.
Take care. Never forget, that's a promise we made on 9/11. Donate to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. Thanks so much. And coming up, I'm going to be talking with Hogan Gidley, the press secretary, and we're going to be talking about Donald Trump's trial and what the heck is going on in that courtroom in Lower Manhattan.
This is the Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is former White House Press Secretary Hogan Gidley. You know Hogan. You've seen him on television. You've heard him on this show before. He is a political operative in the sense that he knows of politics. He's done not only pressers for the president, but he is also in the business of representing some politicians and their PR person. But this morning, we've got him on as a friend, and we're going to be talking about the Donald Trump trial, with which he's very familiar with. Hogan, good morning on this Sunday morning. I want to talk about the trial and the fact that it doesn't appear that anyone has laid a hand on Donald Trump yet. We've had Davidson, he's the guy who created the agreements with the women. And then you've got David Pecker. Oh, each of them said they never spoke to Donald Trump about any of this stuff. How do you think that impacts the trial?
Well, not to mention the fact the folks from the Federal Election Commission, which are not going to be allowed to testify, said there were no laws broken on the federal level either. What I'm concerned about here, Judge, as you know, I worked with Alan Dershowitz on the impeachment trial for Trump, someone who is very steeped and has a really strong legal mind in the legal profession, of course, is he's concerned about venue here, and rightly so, for all these cases, whether it be Fulton County in Georgia, whether it be Washington, D.C., or definitely the one in Manhattan. And this judge, we know, is compromised. We know the fact he donated to Biden, and we know his daughter is making millions off of issues just like this one on Donald Trump for Democrats like Adam Schiff and Pelosi and others. What I'm concerned about, though, is that every single day we see this play out, there's still no crime alleged. They do not lay a glove, as you put it, on Donald Trump in any form or fashion. But I'm concerned it won't matter, because of the ravenous appetite these people on the left have to go get Donald Trump. Listen, I used to think Trump derangement syndrome was one of these jokes. Like, we would just kind of mock the left and be like, ha, ha, ha. I think they're going to write medical journals on it one day. I mean, these people are crazy.
Well, they're going to put it in the Journal of Psychiatric Medicine. And, you know, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels actually denied that the payment from Cohen was hush money. In fact, the lawyer Davidson comes out and said it. He said it was consideration. It was not hush money. And then, you know, you've got David Pecker, who basically said, you know, nothing. We've been doing catch and kill forever, and it really was not about this particular campaign. This is what we do. We pay for these stories, and then we decide whether or not we want to print them. But you know what? Here's the thing. Nobody's laid a glove on Donald Trump yet. But the judge found him guilty of violating four more of the gag orders. One of the gag orders he found him guilty of violating was when he came out of the courthouse, they said, you know, what did you think of David Pecker? He said, he's a nice guy. That's a violation of the gag order. They violated him again. And yet Mark Cohen Michael Cohen is able to continue to trash Donald Trump every night on TikTok and make money from it. So we have this uneven gag order. The defendant, Donald Trump, can't speak, but the witnesses can trash him. I mean, that's just unfair. Forget if you're a lawyer.
Yeah, it's also unconstitutional, right? So everybody else can say things about Trump, but he can't come out and say something and defend himself. I did hear one of the legal analysts that was fascinating to me say, listen, what Donald Trump is saying publicly, that this is a sham, that the judge is compromised, that he didn't do anything wrong, he's going to say those exact same things in court. So what he's going to say in court is going to come out publicly. It's the same thing he's saying now before that side gets out. So they're basically slapping him with all these fines for violating a gag order, where those same exact words are going to come out of his mouth or his attorney's mouths in court. It's the same thing. So the whole process is a joke. It's a sham. We have used that word so many times on Donald Trump because they keep coming after him. The most overused word in the entire administration against Donald Trump for 4 years, and I suffered through it, was the word bombshell. Every day it was a bombshell. Every day they were going to get it, right? The same thing applies here. It's like when you turn on to the other networks, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, it's like Donald Trump has been nailed every day with precision, with all types of legal maneuvers that put him on his back like a turtle, like there's no defense. And then you turn over to any other network, to Fox, you listen to you, Judge, anybody else, Newsmax, whatever, and they're like, hey, here's our legal expert. There's no crime. He didn't do anything wrong. I'm so confused. He's violating New York constitutional law in addition to all the others.
But
it's insane.
Kogan, but the interesting thing on that very point is that a CNN panel said, I think it was on Thursday, they said that Alvin Bragg has presented, quote, precious little evidence of Trump's direct involvement in payments. When CNN says that, you know that that's the case. And the on appeal, this would be reversed. And the issue is this. If Harvey Weinstein's case is thrown out and remanded for a new trial because the DA in Manhattan threw everything at Harvey Weinstein, as opposed to the direct evidence of this one case, they've already said, basically, from the highest court in New York, we're going to throw this out too. You can't just throw everything and anything at the man and hope that it'll stick, because that's not a fair trial, especially when 90% of the jury pool has voted against Donald Trump. This is not America. This is just the most frightening thing that's happening with Jews in this country. Now with Donald Trump, the president in this country, the left has gone off the rails. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, but we've got 6 months to figure this all out. Hogan Gidley, we love having you on the show. See you soon, and thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Judge. Talk
all
soon.
Right, bye-bye. And never forget, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. And up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, I will be speaking with some Columbia University students, and you're going to be fascinated to hear what they have to say. It's all coming up here on the Red Apple Audio Network.
This is the Judge Jeanine Show. This is the Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. I am delighted that we have with us two university students. One is Columbia University student Xavier Westergaard. And a UCLA student, Ellie Saviz, both of them have been on college campuses in the last several weeks at their respective schools, and they are here to talk about what is going on. Xavier is a PhD student at Columbia studying biology, and Eli is a student at UCLA. He's a freshman and a student activist. Okay, Xavier, I'm going to start with you. Xavier, Columbia University, you have experienced this, I believe, for the longest period of time. And you indicated that this started 6 months ago. What did you mean by that?
Yes. So we all know on October 7th, Israel experienced the worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. And by October 8th, there were large anti-Israel demonstrations on campus, really before Israel had even begun to retaliate and try to dismantle Hamas. And these protests have become more despicable, more violent, more frequent, larger. And this all really culminated several weeks ago when our president, President Shafiq, went down to Congress to testify. Student agitators chose this as an opportunity to establish an illegal encampment. And this all came to a head early last week when they stormed this building, trashed it, occupied it, and the police had to come in to shut it down.
Well, what do you think about the fact that it took President Biden 9 days to even speak about this? And I'll stay with you, Xavier, from Columbia. And when he did, he talked about Islamophobia. What was your take on that?
Yes. So it's important to denounce all forms of hate. But at this very moment, the Jewish community in the United States is under particular threat. And these protests are not pro-Palestinian, and they're not really even anti-Israel. They're anti-American, they're anti-Jewish, and they're immoral. So he should have spoken much more forcefully. He should have spoken earlier. And I hope that his rhetoric changes, or else we're going to be going down a very dangerous path.
All right. Eli, UCLA, a freshman, you call yourself a student activist. Is this the kind of activism that you're a part of, Eli?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Ever since October 7th, I've been always constantly going to the anti-Israel rallies, holding up my Israeli flag, showing them and showing other Jewish students that there's no need to be afraid of them and no need to be afraid of their hatred and their bigotry.
And like, have you felt safe on campus? I mean, have you been threatened? Have you been intimidated at UCLA?
Well, ever since their encampment went up last week on Thursday, no, I have not felt safe. They would deny me access to certain parts of campus. They would chant for intifadas, which is, you know, a mass genocide of Jews. They would harass us. They would call us names such as Zionist pigs and baby killers. And for the first time 2 days ago, when I was at the riots, when the police came and shut it down and I was watching everything with my own eyes, a person walked up to me and threatened me right to my face. And that was when everything really became surreal. And I realized, wow, people recognize my face and I need to be more careful.
Well, you know, with Jewish students, and I'll go back to you, Xavier, at Columbia, when they talk about from the river to the sea, and they talk about, you know, essentially eliminating Israel, you are clear that it's not just Israel that they're talking about. Is that right, Xavier?
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what they're saying. You know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free was actually adopted from an Arabic slogan, from water to water, Palestine will be Arab. So these student protesters, whether they know it or not, are calling for the genocide of Jews from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And I don't think many of these people hate Jews for their religion or for their ethnicity. I think they hate us because they've conflated us with all of the evil in the world. And what they see is an imperialist America, and they see Israel as an outpost of imperialist America. And at the end of the day, Jews are left holding the bag, and we have to defend for ourselves, which is a very scary position to be in.
And, you know, imperialist America, and yet the people who are targeted are the Jews as opposed to maybe the Brits or the colonizers, because they see, as you're right, you're so right, Xavier, they see the world oppressor and someone who's oppressed. But why the Jews? Why throughout history has it always been the Jews, Xavier?
This is a perennial question, and scholars have debated why Jews always seem to be left in the position to have to be persecuted for God knows what reason, whether it's because we're capitalists, accused communists, accused atheists, accused religious zealots. I'm not sure. The only thing I can say is that it's promised in our Holy Torah that when God chose us as the chosen people, we would be persecuted until the Messiah comes and we're finally saved and humanity is saved. It's a promise that God made to us, and he's certainly holding up his end of the bargain.
Eli, out there on UCLA campus, is anyone protecting you? Do you feel protected?
So I actually had to have a conversation with my family about hiring a private security, simply because now that I walk around, people give me looks. Just yesterday when I was, two nights ago when I was at the Rise, people were taking pictures of me. They posted on Students Justice for Palestine at UCLA's Instagram page photos of me, letting everyone know, you know, where I was, what I'm doing. So everyone really knows who I am, and I have to walk in a group now or else I don't feel safe.
What about the other Jewish students on campus at UCLA, Eli? I mean, have they gone to remote, or are you required? Can you go on campus? What is it like now?
For the last 2 days, since Wednesday, classes have been remote, simply because they had to take down the encampment and, you know, tensions are very high on campus. I believe we're going to be all back in person on Monday. But like I mentioned before, you know, Jewish students, do we feel a lot safer now that the encampment is gone? Yes. But at the same time, just the fact that it happened and the fact that we know, you know, these students that we walk past now, you know, in the hallways, were students that took part of the encampment. It carries a toll on us, knowing that there's people in the school that truly want us dead.
Will you go back, Eli, to UCLA? Have you and your family made that decision yet?
Well, I'm here right now.
Next year. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear there.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Listen, I don't think we ever should succumb to their intimidation. That's what they want. They want us to be afraid of them. And my message to the Jewish people has always been, no, we can't be afraid of them. We need to show that we're stronger than them, and we need to be better.
All right. And do you feel that the university, I'll go back to you, Xavier, from Columbia. Do you feel President Shafik has your interests in mind?
Absolutely not. I don't think she does. I don't even know whose interest she's beholden to, but it's definitely not the well-being and the safety of Jewish or non-Jewish students on the campus. When you have hundreds of people setting up this shanty town on the lawn, many of whom were known to not even be Columbia affiliates, then you legitimize their ridiculous demands by negotiating with them. Something like what happened with the storming of that building is inevitable. Everyone saw it from a mile away. This woman needs to resign. She has no control over the circumstances, what's going on at Columbia.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Xavier. Not only resign, she needs to be fired to allow this to go on and to negotiate. What's to negotiate? It's a university. It's for learning, and everybody has a right to be protected. And under Title VI of the Civil Rights Law, the Department of Education should be there doing an investigation. But that's just me, you know, saying what I think. And Xavier, do you know of other students at Columbia? Well, let's go back to what you said. Do you know that 40% of the people arrested at Columbia are not students, that they're outside agitators, are not connected to the university at all?
Yes, but let me tell you, it's not that they're not connected. These people have been organizing with the agitators who actually were or are enrolled in the university. These people were brought in, snuck onto campus. They were the ones that provided the bicycle locks and the heavy industrial chain to lock down this building. So even though they're not Columbia students, these are not random people from the street. We have a large contingent of students on the campus who are collaborating with these anti-Semitic, anti-American, vile rioters. And just because they don't have credentials to be on campus doesn't mean that they're not in cahoots with those who do.
And, you know, when the police went on campus, when NYPD went on campus, and I got to tell you, Xavier, I mean, there's not one complaint that or one indicia that the police did anything untoward. They seem to have done it seamlessly. They went on and they've been spit on and yelled at. And I've seen students at Columbia literally push the barricades up against to keep the police out, and the police just back up and don't do anything. Right now, do you think the police are on campus until after graduation? Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. And everything you said about the NYPD is true. They conducted themselves very professionally, and, you know, we call them America's finest for a reason, and I'm very proud of the job that they did.
Yeah, well, NYPD, as someone who's been in law enforcement for over three decades, they are the finest without a doubt. And what do you think? I mean, you're going back next year? Or are you getting your PhD now? What are your plans for next year, Xavier?
Yes, so I'll be defending my thesis in September. I think the academic year starts a little before my final presentation. And I got to tell you, I have no faith that these agitators won't try to set up another tent city, and I just hope that whoever's in charge of Columbia at that point makes the right decision and conducts themselves in a different way than President Shafeek has conducted herself over the last 6 months.
Xavier, Eli, I want to thank you for joining us and opening up the minds of my listeners to what you guys are going through. It is a terrible time, and let me just say, as someone who actually worked with Elie Wiesel, to do nothing helps the abuser, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. God bless both of you. Stay safe and stay in touch. We very much appreciate what you're doing. Take care.
God bless you too, Judge Jeanine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so
much. Thank you. Bob, you're welcome, guys. Hey, you know, if that doesn't give you faith in the future of America, I don't know what does. I am so proud to have had those two kids on, Eli Cevez and Xavier Westergaard, UCLA and Columbia. They have gone through hell for the last few months, but thank God they're starting to see some sunshine, and we'll see how long the sun shines. I can't believe we're out of time already. Thank you to all the great guests we had on today. Make sure you join us right back here next week, same time, same place, for the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. Have a great day, everybody. God bless. Bye.